There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
1207 FM Talk 106.5. And hey, y'all, this is Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're here, and lots to do on today's show. We're talking about redistricting. We're going to talk about the district that is AL1 with Congressman Jerry Carl in a second here. And I want to add this to the mix because I had printed out the whole New York Times hit piece on Ted Cruz about going to Cancun. And there's a movement afoot out there. This is not even a movement, I think, that comes from the DNC. It doesn't come from some shadowy source. It comes from Facebook, and it's the must be nice angle. I've seen this too much. If anybody gets anything or does anything, there's a whole cadre of people out there. Must be nice. Must be nice. Yeah, they're gone to Cancun. Nobody ever goes to Cancun. So this attack machine. So now the New York Times, the folks there that hold their pinky finger out as they drink their, spritzer, they're going, must be nice on Cruz. Well, now that story Jeff talked about. It's been in the news today. But now, just wait, there's more. This is the worst yet. The headline here, I mean, they want me to allow, no, I'm blocking the Daily Mail knowing where I am. All right. Ted Cruz is slammed for leaving the family poodle, Snowflake, at home when he fled frigid Texas for the luxury resort in Cancun. So not only is Ted Cruz does not care about the people of Texas, he doesn't care about Snowflake the poodle. So before we get started with anything else today on the show, I just wanted to make sure you knew that in the latest news. Congressman Carl, Snowflake the poodle was left at home.
Well, the bright side this morning, someone texts me is I'm not Ted Cruz.
Must be nice.
I do feel sorry for him. I mean, we do have personal lives, and most people don't recognize that. But it was a very questionable time to leave his district.
Reading through the news, I heard all that, and I thought the same thing. I said, well, maybe there's some merit to this and the critique, and maybe there is elsewhere. But I read the New York Times story, trying to be fair and understand, and it's, if he'd have gone somewhere, they framed it as lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Oh, yeah, well,
you know, that it's not the fact that he wasn't in his state or he wasn't in Washington in the Senate. He had gone to, and then they listed the room price at the place. It was like $309 a night or something. They listed that. When are the people at the New York Times, just a second, I know there's lots of stuff I want to talk about that's going on in Washington that you're part of, but when is somebody at the New York Times shocked by $300 a night room?
Wonder what it costs in New York.
That's what I'm saying.
Washington, D.C., it's about $650 a night.
So my Third Coast, Gulf Coast boy BS detector goes off when somebody at the New York Times is acting shocked that it's $309 a night, like it's some room that costs, you know, $50,000 a night where it has a waterfall that has M&Ms in it or something.
Yeah, and you know, from Texas, they got direct flights. They're going to have junkets. They're going to have packages put together that are much cheaper than that. But with that said, it was still poor timing.
Poor timing. Agreed with that. But it's just but the articles don't say, hey, poor timing. He should have been there helping people. He was gone to Cancun in a room that cost $300 a night. I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
So much to get into. Thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
My pleasure. Great being here. Great being back in Alabama.
Your schedule now basically is what with the Congress? Like what? Like how's Pelosi set it out now? What do y'all?
Well, we have a schedule that's laid out, but that doesn't mean it's carved in stone. And she's very freely changes it just to aggravate us. Because if you'll look, I had a committee meeting this week. We started our committee meetings, and myself and one other gentleman's the only one sitting in there. So Democrats do everything from home.
Okay, so what is that policy? Because there's you'll have to go take the votes, right?
We do it in waves. That's why it takes so long. The other day we did six votes, and it took us literally all day long to do six votes. Normally it would be 15 minutes per vote because they're all stacked together.
Right.
But we do it in waves, so it'll take an hour plus. Because they'll actually fog the facility and do some light cleaning in between maybe two of the votes. But
there you go. The music started early.
Yeah,
that's okay.
And anyway, but it's a strange world up there right now, especially with the COVID. So
okay, but so they say okay, the vote's coming up today. You got to take a vote on HB whatever. Okay,
yeah.
you come in. They say like A through D, or do they say Republicans, or they say Democrat? I mean, how
it's alphabetically.
Okay.
So I'm in the first wave being a C, but everybody just kind of comes and votes.
Mrs.
They
Smith's
want
class is first, and then Mrs. Johnson's class, and then
we're supposed to go in waves, but we kind of go when we can. It's still the same because they're trying to limit how many people are on the floor, for distance purposes. So, but the Republicans and the Democrats, both sides, they all group up, and you'll see 15 or 20 people in a group. Standing together on both sides, being fair.
I'm glad you brought that up so I didn't have to, because it's the same idea when they limited capacity at high school football games, right?
Right.
And, they would say it's 50%, it's 20%. And then I'd watch, my child being one of them, watch when they had a televised game. And the kids being kids, even though they limited the capacity of the state, they'd all go stand together because that's what
human nature. Yeah. We're flockers. I mean, we like to get together and flock.
So, I mean... Yeah. You have the rules, and then you have the reality.
Right. I mean, the reality doesn't always apply to the rules. For example, the metal detectors.
Well, that's my mind.
Yeah, well, we've had two that have been busted, and one actually walked around it, and one literally went to the bathroom and came back and came back in the wrong door, and they penalized him $5,000. Well, then on the other hand, you've got you got Nancy Pelosi, and she comes in. She's got too much jewelry on. I was told to remove her jewelry, so when she walked around the metal detector to keep it from setting it off. So
where is that now?
Double standard. Pelosi won't talk about it
because last week or the week before they said then if it's a $5,000 fine, then it should be for the speaker as well. She should live.
I
her
think constitutionally, rule. It's a little hard to take money out of someone's paycheck. Just because a rule that you've set in house, so now it's going to court. We taxpayers.
And where would the money go? By the way, people ask me that all the time. Does it go to Treasury?
Maybe it goes to financing some of Fort Pelosi that we've got going up there. I don't know. I mean, between the razor wire and the fence and the military everywhere, I mean that it's being commonly known as Fort Pelosi. That's what everybody refers to it as.
What is the timeline, Congressman, on that? Because we would think that. That should be coming down now. We're past the inauguration. We're past everything, but it sounds like the plans are to keep it up.
Well, they keep coming up with these dates. Now they've come up with a date of March the 4th, and I don't understand that March the 4th supposed to be something that used to be the president was inaugurated, and they think Trump folks are going to come back and take the world back over. But it's got to be such a mess up there. All the housing around the Capitol is beginning to get in an uproar, too, because they're tired of looking at it. I mean, they pay outrageous prices for the view.
More than $300 a night for a room?
Gosh, yeah. I mean, and most people don't. I mean, just like myself, my apartment is about as efficient as you can get, small.
Right.
$2,000 a month. I don't get, we don't get living expenses for stuff like that, but you want something convenient and warm, and other than that, that's what I'm paying for.
Yeah. There's somebody that got questions coming in. We're going to do this. Run to the break, come back, and talk about this. I want to talk about Natural Resources Committee.
Love to.
I know I'm predictable in that, but... unpredictable in that. So we want to talk about that, what it means here in AL1. Also, your questions for Congressman Carl, you can text them in to the text and phone hotline, 343-0106. Actually, with the weather lately, it's just been kind of medium. It's like 64 degrees. It's not, it's hot compared to the outside temp, but it's...
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. By the way, program note, check out yours truly tomorrow on Alabama Politics This Week with Dale Jackson. He asked me what I thought of the gaming bill coming through the Senate right now. And you know me, I let him know, so... Y'all have heard it enough. Now I guess the rest of the state gets to hear it as well. All right, continuing our conversation with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. And a lot to talk about here. I want to run through a couple texts, and then I want to get to this natural resources stuff because, yes, I am a one-trick pony on that. Let's see. So Chester says, hard to take money out of someone's paycheck. Federal government does a good job on mine. So,
great point, Chester. I love it. Touche. You won that one, no doubt.
Can you ask Congressman Carl about the question? Let's see. Could coastal reef conservation, construction, and boat launch upgrades / parking fall under some portion? Oh, they're asking about lottery money revenues. That's not the decision.
Well, you know, there's plenty of money through Go Mesa. There's plenty of money for that. And I tried my best to develop one here in Mobile County. I couldn't find the property with deep water to build one.
Well,
I mean, it's very frustrating. I tried for 8 years. We had money available that we could do it. So, here's
what I hear from the state folks is, hey, Sean, the launch site, the actual ramp stuff we can find. And more, this was more of Dolphin Island. But where the heck are we going to park the cars? Yeah, and they make a good point.
That was going to be the second part of my response. And then what are you going to do with a car and a trailer?
Yeah, I had an idea about like a parking deck for trailers. But then by the time I worked it all through, I said, that's going to be bad. So,
yeah.
All right, let's talk about this. So we mentioned it last time you were here, the natural resources, you're on the Natural Resources Committee.
Right.
What and out of that, I saw kind of the breakout. There's different portions of that committee.
There's subcommittees.
Subcommittees within the committee. Okay.
Yeah, and the subcommittee actually, I've sat on two subcommittees, and I'm going to get them wrong. I'm not going to get them completely right.
Right.
So remember, I'm a freshman and newbie, but I'm on Indigenous People.
Okay.
Subcommittee, which obviously is the not casinos, but the American. Indians,
right,
is what that's related to.
Which is, I mean, in this district with the number of people, the Creeks in this, you know,
you got Creeks and also Mohawk. Now,
yes.
Mohawk is not recognized, but
yep.
that's another
discussion.
Yeah, I was going to say that's part of, you know, what we need to look at and discuss. But the second one is waterway and fisheries,
mm-hmm.
which applies to your
my bailiwick. Yes,
yeah, the snapper issue.
Yeah,
and there's a guy up in D.C. and I met him yesterday, in fact, in a meeting, and his only job is snapper. So I get to spend as much time as I need with him to find out exactly how this works. He may be a great guy for you to get.
Can you send him my contact info?
I'd love to.
Because we're looking through this, and we've talked about the. Just the dollars, even people who don't actually go snapper fish or care about it as an activity, but what it means to AL1, what it means to South Alabama, and the numbers here, these are some old numbers, but, I handed you a sheet here that, you know, what it means for the economic input, and it's huge. I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars for our district.
In District 1, all these numbers apply, if I'm reading this correctly, just to District 1.
That's right.
I mean, you're looking at 88.1 million.
Yeah.
You know, and the snapper issue and the way they test it and so on and so forth, I mean, it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And,
yes.
You know, and I'm
because I'm hearing some bad juju coming.
So I'm told there is going to be a cutback. Florida has stayed out of the mix so far.
And they get rewarded and we get punished?
Well, I hate to word it that way.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Our neighbors over there, but their numbers will be increased, which obviously dilutes ours a little bit. Now, how much is I was told in half. That has been changed. Now I'm told probably 20%. I don't think anybody truly knows it.
That's the worrisome thing for us here, that there's things that are so important to, you know, the economic output in District 1, $130.5 million from snapper fishing. And the people that are in control of this, they're at the federal level. State folks are locked down on this thing, but the federal, they don't know what's going on sometimes. They think they know what's going on, and it's wrong.
And this is where your friendship with the Democrat parties that sit on these committees are important. This is where the sausage is made.
Okay.
When you can, especially the all these committees are being, the majority of them are Democrats. So if you've got a relationship with them and you can actually talk to them and get them to help you on some of these issues, that's where the true politics works in Washington.
You have to find, I would imagine, like-minded Democrat. If a Democrat is, you know, representing a district that has coastal fisheries, seems like you could be able to get them to understand.
Not the majority of them.
That's the problem,
yeah,
right?
I mean, not the majority of them. So it's my job to sell them on that. It's my job to go and sit, have dinner with them, talk to them about my issues, about my people, my district, and see if I can sell them on the idea of working with me. It is very possible, and that's my job. Bradley did an incredible – Congressman Burns did a incredible job doing that. He's probably one of the best in D.C. at working across the aisles that I've seen in a while. And I'm trying to pick up where he left off.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah, it isn't, but it is like following when former Congressman Byrne was doing it. It was exactly what you're saying, building, even within Republicans, building the coalition of coastal representatives out of Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi, you know, Florida, talking to people like-minded, you know, folks that get it.
Yeah, sure. They have access to the same information we've got. Obviously, Texas is their numbers. With such a larger coastline than we've got, because we have such a small coastline.
68 miles of coastline.
Yeah, yeah. And you look, compare that to Florida and Texas, even Louisiana, and there's a huge difference. So we'll just have to work through it. I mean, and being Democrat controlled, it's a toss of the dice right now. But I didn't sign up for it to be easy.
Okay,
you know, so I'm ready for it.
We keep that battle going. Also, let's talk about and people would. There are a bunch of questions still about the metal detector stuff, but that
oh boy
that
yeah.
So that is by fiat of the speaker. It is not a law. In other words, can that be removed any day?
It is a rule on the floor.
A rule of
that was passed,
okay.
And obviously it was passed by the Democrat Party as a whole. But it's just sticking a finger in people's eyes. There's people always have carried weapons on the floor. I'm not that type of person,
right?
But that's my personal choice,
right?
And I doubt there's very many people other than maybe somebody else in this room owns more guns than I do. It's not a matter of that.
No.
But we have all the Capitol Police down there that's protecting us and taking care of us. But if somebody feels like they need to, I mean, my son's a good example. He didn't put his pants on without a gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's just him, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it, on that floor, you know, it's supposed to be an agreement. You know, everyone's looking after one another and
right.
taking care of one another. And it's just a way that Nancy Pelosi can kind of stick a finger in our eye. And, you know, you've got an outspoken Second Amendment congressman from Colorado, and they just want to put her in her place. That's what this is about. They also, yesterday in the National Resource Committee, they passed a rule you couldn't bring a firearm into the meetings either, which that has never, ever been a question. But, again, she sits on that committee. On natural resources, so that's their way of sticking their finger in her eye again.
It fits in with some of the themes coming from the executive branch. And, you know, I've looked through even before election, was talking on the show about President Biden's plan, Second Amendment plans, and they're ramping those up. And
it's going to get ugly. I mean, I'd love to tell you positive stuff, but it's going to get much, much, much
How
ugly.
Can you, and in just a minute left here, but how can you do anything to slow that down? Obviously, everybody's looking at 2022, but a lot can happen between now and the midterms.
Try our best to peel off six or seven Democrats that are like-minded.
Are they out there?
Say no.
They out there in the House?
Sure they are. They've just got to be there long enough to get brave. Because I mean, it's a different world. We have strong suggestions from the leadership of how they would like for us to vote, and if we're going to vote different than what they suggest, just let them know. It's understood. Just let us know. Don't surprise us. Democrat Party's a little bit different. You're going to vote that line, because if you don't vote that line, they'll what they call primary. They'll raise the money and come after you and get you. and get you unelected pretty quick. So it's two different worlds up there that we're dealing with.
Well, that's, you know, there's so many agendas that are being rolled out. The executive coming straight through into the legislative branch that worry conservatives. But yeah, a couple focus of the climate agenda that's coming for the Biden administration.
Oh boy. Well, that one's coming. That one scares me to death. That one scares me more than the Second Amendment, because there's so many Democrats out there that will agree with you on Second Amendments.
Mm-hmm.
But the Green New Deal, as they're referred to it as, they're gonna get us hard on that one.
Can you hold on one more? Sure. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, good. Hold you over the break here, because I want to ask about that. How much of this is possible? How fast something like this can move? We'll continue our conversation with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. It is Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. And continuing our conversation with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. And and I know there are so many things. And somebody was asking on the text line, why are there so many things to vote on? I'm paraphrasing what this person said, but you talked about the number of votes you go take. They said, why are there so many things to vote on?
Well, if we put them all together and vote on it as one package, I mean, we're also obviously going to be criticized for that. So I would prefer.
I'd rather them separate.
Yeah, I would too. I'd rather.
But it doesn't happen. But when the big stuff comes in and the poison pills, they don't ever get thrown in. They get thrown into some cromnibus.
Well, I've always said they have to have a place to hide it. You know,
yes.
It's the small print somewhere in the middle. So, The bad stuff, they try to put enough good stuff around it, you can't say no.
How big is the font on this new Green Deal stuff?
It's big. I haven't seen it yet, but it's going to be pretty tiny. Right now, they don't care. I mean, they're not hiding it. Committee meeting yesterday, they just flat told us where this was going with or with. They really don't need our input.
And I use new Green Deal. Is it? Are we using that to talk about any environmental agenda, or is it this package of stuff that was laid out, a year and a half ago that is just way, way left?
It's way, way left.
That's what they're going to go with.
It's worrying me. Now, obviously, the hope we've got is 2022, and I'm not here to run for 2022 or start a campaign or anything, but 2022 will actually, we got a chance to take the House back, a small chance to take the Senate back. And we can slow up and stop a lot of this stuff with majority, obviously. But, you know, with President Biden, Biden has proven all he needs is a pen. I mean, he'll just executive orders and send it right on through. But we've just got to ride the storm out.
People are asking right now, you talk about coalitions on Second Amendment. You can find some Democrats to peel away.
Hopefully.
Okay. And just side note for another show, the agenda that worries me most of President Biden's is the not even going specifically after guns. It's reclassifying,
right?
You know, modern sporting rifles and making them fall under a tax stamp. So, and if you don't have the tax stamp, you're now a felon in possession. But on this environmental agenda, you don't see the chance of peeling off Democrats anything to slow it down or water it down or put a sunset on something
at this point, no. Unless we can, for example, the steel mills up in Philadelphia.
You just have an expansion coming, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you got steel mills up there and they try to impose some environmental stuff that will really hurt those steel mills, you'll see those Democrats push back.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you hope for. I mean, just like with the pipeline that Biden has shut down. You know, you see the Democrat senators in West Virginia, of all places, pushing back because,
right.
You know, they realize how it's going to affect them.
Probably.
So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you hope for.
How Joe Manchin can deal with this in the discussion of coal and being, you know, senator from West Virginia.
There's still a market for the coal. There's still markets overseas. And some of the coals that we actually produce, especially in Alabama, the metallurgical coals,
mm-hmm.
there's a huge demand for that. So we don't need it. You know, we have to be careful. Not every coal is good coal. It's like 62 different types of coal.
Mm-hmm.
Metallurgical coal burns very, very hot, so they use it for smelts, for melting metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's primarily in Brazil and England. So it's a huge export through the Mobile port here. So, you know, we really have to work hard to keep those mills going, which are actually up in Jasper, Alabama, and Tuscaloosa.
Sure, I see it coming down the Tom Bigby River.
Yeah.
I'm fairly green on things when it's common sense. I want to keep air clean. I want to keep the water clean. Those kind of things are very important to me.
We're outdoorsmen. We're
yes.
environmentalists. We're the true environmentalists.
I want to preserve clean water,
right.
clean air. But if this agenda is the agenda that was laid out a year and a half ago, I can peel out the things that are actually about air and water, and that leaves 90% of it that seems like a reset for the economy in this. It's not even – a lot of this gets completely away from clean air and clean water and those things that are good and right, and it's like a reset for how the United States works.
In my opinion, they're extremists and they're making money off of it. Al Gore's a great example.
Yeah.
I mean, just use him as an example. He's made himself a fortune off of this concept that he's pushing. So,
well, and so people are saying, like Paul here, that seems that they're not afraid of overplaying their hand.
They don't have to be because they're in total control. We gave them total control when we lost Georgia. Georgia was the backstop. They already had the House. We took back quite a bit of the House. I don't remember exactly how many seats, 23
right.
seats. Our backstop was the Senate. And all we needed was one senator out of two, and we lost both of those. So we're exposed on all flanks. But I love what McCarthy said. We got them at all flanks. Now we know where they're at. We know how to attack them. So.
But this is not even nuanced. Just like the capital gains tax discussion or something
right.
that comes and goes and a new administration comes in and new Congress and you move that number back and forth and people are going, oh, gosh, if it goes up, what does this mean? But those things are often short term. There's things laid out in this agenda, the new Green Deal agenda, that I'm scared they're beachheads that once it gets there, you can't come back. I said that with the Affordable Care Act, with Obamacare, that once that beachhead is reached, you're never going to come back. And
listen,
it's been proven you can't.
I am not against wind energy. I am not against solar energy.
I agree with you.
I'm not against any of the technology is not there yet. And if you've never been to a place that has 1,000 windmills, you don't know what it's like. They're not quiet.
No.
That is a constant hum that just drives you crazy. And I can't imagine the wildlife, how it affects that. I don't know.
You got to look at the numbers on, and not anti-windmill, but the stats are that kills the heck out of migrating birds.
So look at the solar side of it. I mean, the same problem there. The heat that's generated. I mean, I'm all for it. Let's just don't force everything to happen overnight.
Well, and on the solar part, too, and some I was reading that they were talking about taking federal land, so national forest, maybe
right.
BLM. This is one of the plans. This hadn't moved through, but one of the plans was to put massive solar arrays in these places, okay, to put the 1,000 acres of solar. They're taking areas that belong to we the people mm-hmm. to enjoy, you know, open lands, and there's plans to convert those into these solar farms as well.
I haven't seen that yet, and I can't tell you.
It just seems like if there's no drilling, if you want to do drilling, or you know, if drilling and extraction is bad, you know, and if it's done sloppily, I agree. But if it's done, if that's bad, then why you could turn 2,000 acres into a solar field?
I don't know, but we've got to come up with a fair response, because I am concerned about the environment. I've always been concerned about the environment, and we've got to, instead of shutting an industry completely down, and it's already beginning to affect Mobile's here in Mobile County. They've got one of the pipe companies up in Chickasaw that has shut down. But, you know, just the jobs and repercussions from that. If they think they're going to make that up with jobs in the solar panel business, they're kidding themselves. They're kidding themselves.
You know, this is, and people just like last time are asking your take on the upcoming Senate race with Senator Shelby not running again.
You know, I think so far I've seen some great candidates that are getting involved, but I've got no place in having no input or say into that. All I say is you know, let's hear all the candidates out. They're not through yet.
No, but this is
going to be a stable full.
Yeah, this is so early on. But in my worry there, and I've been lamenting this since Jeff Sessions left to go, work for the Trump administration, that we went from having the most senior senatorial delegation in Washington to now we're going to be looking at the most junior. These questions on the port you're talking about business here. These questions, we're about to be at a significant loss in influence in Washington, Congressman.
You're singing to the choir here. I mean, you've got two freshman House members up there that represent the state. It's some very, very trying times. And my wife reminds me all the time. She says, you know, God's got you up there for a reason. And my prayer is, dear God, please tell me why I'm here, you know, because it couldn't be a worst of times to be getting started in Washington in politics. But we are there for a reason. We're not going to back up. We're not going to get weak. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. So we've got to find a like-minded senator that we can get up there. Seniority counts in Washington. You may not like it.
I know that, but that's the deal.
Nobody likes it, but I heard Jeff Port and Flowers talking about it earlier today. I mean, Shelby didn't start getting his strength until 20 years in office.
Right.
And whether you like it or not, or what you think of Richard Shelby, I'll tell you what, this state would be in a whole lot worse shape without that man. And I can list a long list of them just here in Mobile.
So it's going to be incumbent even more on the House. The representation in the House.
We're going to have to carry the weight as much as we possibly can.
Which we might be short a House seat as well, like Representative Pringle is going to talk to us about here with the redistricting.
And we have no idea where that's going at this point. Chris knows more than the rest of us. So
yes,
I'm glad you're coming here to talk about it. Don't let him talk about me, by the way.
Well, we'll see. Congressman, as always, I appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right, talk to you again soon.
Take care. And everybody keep the faith and keep praying. Our elected officials.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. Remember, streaming online, fmtalk1065.com. Why don't y'all say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. And you rolled out inventory the other day. I mean, you got them stacked up, and not just trucks. You got all those other kind of vehicles, too.
Yeah, I explained to my salespeople this morning that we were not overstocked. We're just undersold, so they need to go to work.
Right. But what's great is that you have vehicles at all kind of price ranges, and you have financing to meet that. You've talked about those 10,000 and under, and I know I've been listening about trucks, but you can get great financing on those, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, we got a nice lady this morning done on one. She'd had some issues in the past, but we were able to get her a nice traverse and then under 10%.
I love this. And you shop us, you match us with the right lender.
Absolutely. Like I said, we've been doing this for a long, long time. I'm not as old as some folks, but I'm pretty old, and we've been in the car business between all of us about 200 years. So we know how to get the customer the best deal.
I love it. All right. Tell folks how to find you.
Highway 90 West at Fayette, and Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, this is good to get back on the show and in person in studio. State Rep Chris Pringle, good to see you.
Good seeing you again. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and this is a subject, and Representative Pringle can probably tell you that I bother him about from time to time, myself and a cadre of others in the state of Alabama probably asking it, because you're the guy, you're the man on this subject and redistricting. Wow. Okay. This looks like, here's a quote I pulled, and then you can react to this. So this came from a Yellowhammer story today. It said, on the same day the Biden administration announced plans to cut back on arrests and deportations by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the administration's arguing that the case brought by Alabama to keep illegal immigrants from being included in changing the congressional districts based on the 2020 U.S. Census data should be dismissed.
You know, it's the census Now, you have the census, then you have reapportionment, and then you have redistricting.
Okay.
So we'll
yeah, explain.
We'll
yeah, out. Give me a lesson here. So the census, we all know that there were some worries, but then a push there at the end, Alabama showed up and filled out the census.
Well, no. Our final numbers were 64.7%.
Went up to 90-something.
That's after the government got through counting.
Explain this. Wait. So that big push, and there at the end, and I was so proud that Alabama had come through.
99.9%?
Yes.
Yeah, we were at 64.7%. Let me back off.
Yeah.
Let me back up. Yeah, we have to do the census every 10 years.
Right.
Okay. And the courts have ruled that the census has to be an actual enumeration count of where you live on April the 1st.
Okay. Right?
You cannot statistically sample it. And that was a lawsuit that came out. You can't statistically sample. Now, we do statistically sample on another census bureau. That's how we get these update numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The actual census itself is you have to count everybody one time. Now the fight is, do we count illegal immigrants or do we count citizens?
Right.
Now the Biden administration has said, we're counting everybody, which means the states that have invited all these illegal immigrants to these sanctuary cities are now going to get more population. So when we get into apportioning the seats in the United States Congress, there are 435 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. Jerry has one of them. Good guy, by the way. He's such a nice guy. I mean, I watch him. He drives in by himself in a pickup truck
yep.
and leaves in a pickup truck.
Similar to you.
Yeah, well.
You know,
yeah,
y'all resemble each other on that.
His is a little bit nicer than mine. But anyway, every state by constitution has one member of the U.S. House. That leaves 385 seats that have to be apportioned amongst the 50 states. And so now the formula for apportioning those remaining 385 seats, I've sat through seminars on this. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't figure it out. It is so complicated and so convoluted. And what has people like me scared, the Trump administration never released any numbers, none. And we were supposed to get preliminary numbers that told us whether we were going to have 6 or 7 at the end of December. Then it was supposed to be January. Then it was supposed to be February.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the end of April. But we won't get the real numbers until the end of August that we have to use to draw. So hopefully in April we're going to find out we have 6 or 7, but we won't have any numbers to be able to draw any districts off of.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a couple. I want to back up for a second. And the question, I've talked about this with the Attorney General several times on the show, more than several times, is this question about counting the citizens. And this is where it gets into, you know, what if you say the Constitution says persons, right?
Yeah.
And I would argue then, you know, and people say, well, it's citizens. They say, well, the wording says persons. But my deconstruction of it, and you can help me because you're so much more literate on this than I am. What would the founders have cared about somebody who was not a citizen? I mean, if you counted the persons living there, be it immigrants, legal immigrants, or illegal immigrants, or anybody, why do they matter? It seems like I think it may be the word says persons, but why would the founders have cared about how many persons? If you're represented, you have to be a citizen to have representation. So why would you count somebody? I'm asking. I'm not trying to. I get in fights with liberal folks on this all the time. But why would you be counting somebody who's not a citizen? Why? What value for apportionment would there be in that?
Well, I mean, it's an argument. I don't think the founding fathers ever imagined government officials inviting people to illegally enter our country stay here. But the real issue is these states and cities that have become sanctuary cities. Now, these illegal immigrants cost the taxpayers tremendous sums of money in prison costs and health care costs and education costs. Now they want them counted because the census is not only used to apportion those seats in Congress. The
money.
Census is used, yeah.
Our
matching funds, our
sure.
drawdown money. It's
which is another hit the state will take.
Exactly, and it's going to be brutal. And that's the problem. They want to count these people because they want the other taxpayers in the United States to send them money to help pay for what they have to pay for now.
But Representative Pringle, you're making the pragmatic discussion here. But I'm back to my idealism for a second and just trying to get at the root of it. And I truly, this is not rhetorical. I do not understand. I agree with you that the founders wouldn't have pictured sanctuary cities or inviting illegals in, but what value, if you want to count people for other programs or whatever, but for apportionment, what value is there in counting anybody but a citizen? Only citizens have representation in Congress.
Well, if they
I count, mean, am I missing something? Am I?
If doing that formula where they apportion those seats in the United States House, if they count the illegal immigrants, then they'll have a greater chance of basically, if I had to bet right now, we're going to lose a red congressional seat, and it's going to go to a blue state. I mean, they are completely – you heard the congressman talking earlier about they're in charge completely. No, there's no number we can argue that was released before Trump left. Now they could do anything they want to.
There's no benchmark to say, well, exactly. Wait.
Yeah. So I can see where they're going to take a red Republican seat and a red electoral college vote and move it to a blue state. They've only got six votes.
Coming
margin.
From here.
Yeah. They have a very slim margin in the House. They're going to look for every seat they can.
It's and when we come back from the break, there's so much to delve into, and we'll talk about that. It's just I keep going back to that lament, and I know that in the legislative branch and the executive branch, there's nothing we can do. But is there any way, is there any interpretation could come through the judicial that the founders, what value is there in apportioning representation to a person that's not a citizen? Why don't we apportion representation to somebody who, I mean, from Mexico or Canada, who lives there? Yeah, we're going to go to Guadalajara and let's find some people to bring in and go up to Toronto and bring some people in. Of course not, because they're not citizens. They wouldn't have a representative because they're not a citizen. What am I missing?
You and I are on the same page. I equate it to this. You have a vacation home. You're gone for the summer. Somebody breaks into your house and starts living there. And rather than having them arrested for breaking into your house, you have to have them evicted. That's
where we are.
Legal protection.
All right, coming right back. This is a lot to talk about, and the man who knows the story here for Alabama, some of it is, a lot of it's not going to be great news for us. We'll talk about it with Representative Chris Pringle when we return.